Oh, boy. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the study about the harmony of the Gospels as we put to life our Lord chronologically through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just putting together all of his trip. Lord, teach us many things about our Lord. Teach us many things about our own nature. Now we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, now, we're going to start the last 7 days of our Lord's life. Today's day number one. And you say, well, what it means only seven more lessons. Probably not, because there's a lot that he does in these last 7 days. So it might take us a little longer than seven more lessons. But the first day, and basically what we're going to look at today, and I neglected to put it on your sheets, but basically Jesus is going to enter into Jerusalem. That's what we're going to see. And then we're going to see him weeping over the city. That's what's really presented in our material here this morning. So our first question that we ask is, where were they drawing nigh unto? Well, Matthew, here's what he says. And when they drew nigh, okay, unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives. Mark says it like this. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage, at the Mount of Olives. So basically what? You look at those two, and it's, yeah, basically the same. Then Luke says this, and it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage, and he adds to Bethany, all right? At the mount called the Mount of Olives. So we do have a little bit more information. Luke, you're going to see as we go through here, is going to have a lot more volume. So Luke's account will have a few more details than what we find in the other accounts. But basically, you see them heading towards into Jerusalem. We got the two cities that are very close. Down on the bottom of your page, I mentioned that Bethpage is less than a mile from Jerusalem, and Bethany is about 2 miles. So that kind of gives you an idea of these three cities, that they're no more than 2 miles apart from one another. So very, very close. Because he's going to leave from one and go into the other for his evenings. So you're going to see, well, that wasn't that big a walk. How long does it take you to walk a mile? 15 minutes probably, maybe 20 at the most. So it's less than a... Okay, I'm sorry, Al. He was smiling at me. All right, with a cane, it might take a little longer. All right, that's, yeah. All right. Our next question: who did Jesus send forth? Well, it says, and then sent Jesus two disciples. Mark, he sent it forth two of his disciples. Luke, he sent two of his disciples. So pretty much harmonized that, didn't we, huh? And I also mentioned on your sheet that Bethany was the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus. We saw that just a little bit last time, didn't we? All right, on your next page, page two. What instructions does Jesus give unto them? All right, these two that he's sending, he's saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. All right, that's Matthew. What is any changes in Mark's account? He says, okay, he saith unto them, go, okay, your way, into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereupon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. So, up in Matthew's account, we had an ass along with the colt. Here, we're just reading about the colt, because the emphasis is going to be on the colt. But you see the phrase, whereon never man sat. That's an important thought, okay? Luke, what does he say? Go ye into the village over against you, in the which, at your entering, ye shall find a colt tied, thereupon never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. Now, I ask you this question. Have you ever tried riding a colt? Now, this is a colt donkey, if you will. Now, what's the problem about riding a colt? You know, what's the idea about a colt? They're frisky. Now, and a colt, that's a young colt. How many people do you think ever sat on this colt? No one. They're not trained. They're not broke. I had a donkey. I had several donkeys. And they had the rubber neck. They could come up back and take a bite out of you. Only way I could ride that donkey, I rode him backwards. I put my legs around his neck so he couldn't reach back and bite me and grab a hold of his hair back here. That's the only way I could stay on that donkey. Because he would run and buck. But I'd get my wrap my legs around his neck so he couldn't bite me, all right? And then I'd hang on to his, you know, after the winter, he'd have a lot of fur, and I'd hang on to that so he couldn't buck me off. But listen, I rode horses. They were colts and breaking them. They all bucked. They all bucked. It wasn't like, okay, 1 out of 10 bucks. No. When you first get on a colt with a saddle or however, they buck. And so I want you to understand the miracle that we're about to see here. All right, continuing now, what instruction Jesus gave to him? Matthew 21:3 says, "And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, well, the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them." Mark, well, if any man say unto you, hey, why do ye this? Say ye this. The Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him hither. Luke, and if any man ask you, hey, why do you lose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. So basically, they're very harmonized, aren't they? They're saying almost all the same thing. Now, the one question I do ask you, what do you see about our Lord in these statements? Anything at all? He knows all about what's going on, doesn't he? He knows beforehand what people are going to say, and he gives them the answer to that. So we call that what? God is omniscient. He's all-knowing, all right? So that's an attribute that we see as we study through here. Now, why would this happen? Why would this happen? Look at 21 verse 4 and 5. And all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tali, the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Zechariah 9:9 is where that comes from. But why did all this happen? Because it had been what concerning the Lord? Prophesied. All right. Now we know that, you know, there were many, many scriptures. I think in mine I got about 40 or 50 Old Testament scriptures that were fulfilled in the Lord's first coming, all right? And, of course, this would be one of them. But, you know, this had to come to pass because it was written. And what's written will come to pass. It gives us just an assurance of the validity of God's word. All right, on page number 3. What did Jesus' disciples do? And the disciples, they went and did as Jesus commanded them. Mark says, and they went their way. And Luke, he says, and they that were sent went their way and found even as he said unto them. So there's a, you know, a little added here, a little added there, but you get the idea, all right? But continuing answering that question. Matthew then goes on, he says, and they brought the ass and the colt and put on them their clothes and set him thereon. Mark says, they found a colt tied by the door without in at a place where two ways met, all right, two roads come together, and they loosed him. Now, why do you think they'd put clothes on him? notice what Matthew says? In verse 21, 7, and they put on them their clothes. You ever rode a donkey? You ever rode a donkey? They're pretty bony, especially a colt. You wouldn't have to ride very far. That's what invention did they come up with? You know, the Indian, he had a blanket, but it wasn't long for one day, saddle, all right? You know, and I rode even workhorses were big and broad. Still, it'd be painful. But so yeah, they put the clothes on them, and that was to lighten the pain, if you will. Now, hey, another question: how did those who saw them do this respond? When they saw them do it, how are they going to respond? And certain of them, Mark says, certain of them that stood there said unto them, "What do ye, loosing the colt?" So, were there neighbors or something? They're saying, "What are you? Hey, whoa, 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 whoa! What's going on here?" You know, if you saw somebody backing up to your neighbor's house and start carrying out the stuff, you're wondering, "Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa! What are you doing here?" You know. And it says, Luke says, and as they were loosening the colt, the owners. So Mark talked about certain of them. Maybe it was the owners, maybe it was others. But it says here, the owners thereof said unto them, "Hey, why loose ye the colt?" Some would try to take away the power of this by indicating, well, the Lord had made arrangements from the owner to get this colt. But that does that sound like the owners knew anything about this? Yeah.
So did they say, when they asked them, "Hey, why are you loosening a colt?" They said, "Hey, because the Lord needs it."
Yes. Oh. Yep. Yep. How did the two disciples respond to being questioned? Well, Mark 11:6, and they said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. Luke says, and they said, the Lord had need of him. So with that statement, they just let the ass and the colt go. Then what did the disciples do with the colt? Mark 11 says, and they brought the colt to Jesus. They cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. Luke. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments on the colt, and they sat Jesus thereon. What did Jesus do with the colt? John's account's not too broad, but here we have this. And Jesus, when he'd found a young ass, sat thereon. What did Jesus say about this event? Well, John says it. As it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt." So once again, he is indicating prophecy is being fulfilled. Now, did his disciples understand this saying? John 12, verse 16 says this, "These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remembered they that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him." And who came to see Jesus, and why did they come? "The people, therefore, that was with him, when he called Lazarus out of his grave and raised him from the dead, bear record." So who's there? Those who had even bore witness and seen Lazarus, they're there. And John 12 says this, "For this cause the people also met him, for that they had heard that he had done this miracle." So why were some coming to meet the Lord when they heard that he was coming? Because of the miracles, particularly the miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. Now remember, Lazarus was close, wasn't he? He's from Bethany. So those in around the area, they know, some of them were there and seen it themselves. Others had heard about it. But those who had seen and heard, man, they were thronging to the Lord, and perhaps looking for another miracle. But what we're sensing here is that many of them are going to go out, But many of these will go out and they're going to be hollering, Hosanna! Hosanna to the highest! Within a week, they're going to be hollering what? Crucify him! Crucify him! So there was some impure motives is what I'm trying to share with most of them who have come out to greet the Lord. Selfish motives, impure motives. Well, notice now, we're talking about the multitudes. Let's see how they responded. Wow. And a very great multitude. They spread their garments in the way. Others, what did they do? Well, they cut down branches from the trees. What did others do? And others, they strawed them in the way. Now, Mark says almost the same thing. Many spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches off the trees, and they strawed them in the way. Luke, he doesn't say too much about this. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. But we're going to continue. Look what, that was in Luke 19, verse 36, but verses 37 and 38 says this. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, here we go, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. And what were they saying? Saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Now that's Luke's account of this, of what they were saying. Now Matthew says, in the multitudes, they went before, and that followed, they cried, saying, here's what we have. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now I give you the reference from which that comes. Psalms 118, verses 25 and 26. Mark, and they that went before and that followed cried, saying, what did they say? Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Now you see, we got some things very similar, all right? But the emphasis is on David, King David, all right? So, emphasizing the aspect that of him being a what? David, Savior, okay? Now watch, John says, on the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, they took branches of palm trees, they went forth to meet him, and they cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel, that cometh in the name of the Lord. David, King, David, aspect of Savior. You see the word Hosanna? That is the aspect, oh, save us now. Please save us. That's the idea, okay, of Hosanna. So what do you think all these people, they're coming out in multitudes, they're crying, Hosanna, Hosanna. You know, the King, it cometh in the name of the Lord. King of Israel, what were they perceiving? Anybody? Somebody? Here's Jesus, yeah.
So they heard about the things that he did from someone in their town. They wanted to say, hey, what's this all about?
Yep. Definitely they're thinking that here is this one who can perform great works. Pardon? Yeah, they're looking for an earthly king. They're perceiving that just as David had reigned, that now Christ was coming to reign and liberate them from whose rule? From Roman rule. Roman controlled them. They're thinking, here's our earthly king. He's riding into Jerusalem. He is going to liberate us from this Roman tyranny. Well, what happened when Jesus came into the city? Wow. And when he was coming to Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Mark says, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Matthew, and the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And I mentioned how Jesus is the one promised by Moses in Deuteronomy 18:15. This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. Now, how did the Pharisees respond to one another concerning the people's praise? The Pharisees, therefore, said among themselves, "Perceive ye how ye prevail nothing? Behold, the world is going after him." So what are they looking? Well, they're seeing the people, they're seeing the throng of people going after the Lord. All right. Watch what comes next. How did the Pharisees respond to Jesus? We saw how they were talking to themselves, but how did they respond to Jesus concerning the people's praise of him? Luke is the one who gives us this insight. "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitudes," see who they were with them, don't you? "They said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples." Hey, Hosanna, save us. They were lauding him as king, weren't they? And prophet, even though we saw here of recent. And they want him to silence those. They shouldn't be sharing this kind of adoration unto him. Well, notice how Jesus responds to the Pharisees' demand. "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." Wow. Before we go on any further, what's your thought on that? What was Jesus indicating to them? Was he worthy of this praise that was given to him? Oh, yeah. He was worthy of it. And even if he was a quiet to people, what did he say? Well, the rocks would cry out. My, what does that tell you about Jesus, God? He's control over everything. Man, if the rocks can start talking, my friends. Well, we saw the rocks that, you know, in the Old Testament give out water, right? Well, if they can give out water, they can cry out too. So, you know, he is God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And now how does Jesus respond as he beholds Jerusalem? Luke says, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it." Okay, that's what he did. What did he say about the city? Notice this is all on Luke, okay? This is Luke's, and he says this, saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou at least, in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes." What's he indicating? That there's many in the city who are what? Blinded.
They're not following the
passage. Okay, and they're not understanding what's going on. They're not understanding the whole magnitude of this. "For the day shall come upon thee that thy enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side." What's he saying is going to happen to Jerusalem? Entrenched? Build up a mound? What's happening to the city of Jerusalem?
They're being sieged.
Luke 19:44, And they shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. What's he warning them? What's he warning them concerning Jerusalem? It's going to be sieged. Now, you know when this is going to happen? We might be talking right now, maybe at the time, 33, 34 A.D. When was this going to happen in Jerusalem? How many years ahead? 70 A.D. It would be encompassed by the Romans and be destroyed. And Jesus, he knows, of course, he's omniscient. He knows what's coming, and he's weeping. Because those in the city were completely what? They're oblivious to what was about to happen. We're only a few generations away, 30 years. And boom, this could happen. And they're probably like us today. You know, we look and say, wow, hey, 30 years? Are you kidding me? We're going to be free and footloose and but maybe not in 30 years. We could be a socialist nation. And destroyed from, not this time from without, but if we could be destroyed from within. But he's talking and he's weeping over it. But then we see with that weeping, with that warning, he then goes back to Bethany. And Mark says this, and Jesus entered into Jerusalem, into the temple. And when he had looked around about all upon all things, and now was evening tide come, and he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Now, he's setting the scenery for the next day. He's come in, and he's looked at the temple. And I want to tell you something. He didn't like what he saw. And he's going to come back the next day, and that's when we're going to look next week and see that he's going to... He's going to clean. He's going to turn the tables. Yeah, right. All right. Now, that was we went through quite a lot of verses there. What did we learn? Well, it's easy. What was one of the big things we saw about our triune God? God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is what? He's all-knowing. All right? We saw that in this passage. Did we find anything else? What did Jesus fulfill? Man, he came to fulfill Scripture. Yeah, remember one place it tells us Matthew came to fulfill the law. Man, he came to fulfill the Scriptures, the prophecies. All right? So we see that. What did we see concerning praise when we think of the Lord? All right, he deserves the praise. He permitted the praise of others. So if we want to praise him, do you think there's anything wrong with that? No. And when you see him weeping, what characteristic of our Lord do you see there? Empathetic, compassionate, yes, caring. He warns, you know. He's warned. And how many times he's warned you and I, you know, of things to come. You know, if you do such and such, here's the consequence. If you don't do such and such, here's the consequence. And we need to believe what the Lord says. Now, what do these verses teach us about mankind? Mankind can be fickle, all right? Yes, yes. But we did see a couple of men who were very what? Obedient. Yeah, we saw that it meant some men can be obedient. We had the two go out and obey the Lord's words. Now, that's a positive thing for us to see and understand and want to do. Follow the Lord in obedience. Some men sought Jesus because of his what? Maybe not so much who he was, but what he did. Yeah. No, they did not understand. And that some men sought to, to give him praise. But again, their motive was impure, as we noted, because it won't be 7 days later, 6 days later, that they'll be crying, crucify him 5 days later. Okay, anybody else about mankind? Okay.
Once their idea of king failed, then that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as he's not going to do something for me. But see, he was doing something for them. He was dying for them. But they were not, they were looking for some, hey, I want to be liberated. I want to have this. I want to have that. And when they weren't getting what they thought they deserved or was owed to them, they no longer showed allegiance to it. Yes?
Sometimes it's hard to see the big picture. A lot of people want to see the what is now. What now?
Yep.
They didn't really perceive the bigger picture of the cause, the second and third order of effects.
Yep, you're right. And, of course, that's how you and I have been so much blessed in that we have the completed canon. I mean, we are truly a blessed people. If for no other reason than to have the completed canon. But there are other reasons, as we'll look at this morning. Well, now, how might these verses change our behavior then? Hey, we could purpose to follow which characters in the that we looked at. Our purpose, follow the obedience of the two. And it takes, for them to obey, it also took faith, didn't it? Faith to believe, well, what Christ has said was, you know, they're going to let him hide. It's not going to, what did they do with a thief in that time? Yeah, well, they might not have stolen him, but if you stole something, it cost you fourfold. Fivefold, depending on what it was, for probably an ass, it had been fourfold. But, I mean, it wasn't, that would be a strong, so they had to have a lot of faith in doing that. Anybody else? All right. And there's something else, like a side effect. There's some that we remember when they came, of course, the owners, but there seemed to be others too, by one's account. Others who, when they saw what was going on, they approached them. Now, what would that teach us about today? I mentioned a little bit about it earlier. Am I my brother's keeper? You know, should I be observing what's going on in my neighborhood and around me? And when I perceive things, look, others came up to him and they inquired, hey, whoa, 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 hey, where are you going with that? Where are you going with that donkey? Well, they knew it didn't belong to him. Now, when they were told what about, then they, okay. But the point I want to make is, you know, we are our brother's keepers. There's nothing wrong with us. And in fact, it ought to be our responsibility if we see something happening to our neighbor to at least ask the question. Well, hey, what are you doing? What are you doing here on my neighbor's property? Give me your name. Let me, you know, jot down the license plate. You know, it doesn't do you any, there's nothing wrong with us being our brother's keepers and watching over one another. Yes?
I was going to say also accountability.
Yeah, okay.
Is important.
Yep, yep, well, it is. All right, that's good. Anybody else? All right, well, hey, we got about 15 minutes. Let's thank the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you and praise you for just this passage of Scripture we've been able to harmonize this morning, the first day of the last Passover week for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for his triumph entry into Jerusalem. And we thank you, Lord, for just the compassion that he showed in weeping over what he foresaw as the destruction of Jerusalem. Lord, help us to have the same kind of compassion and caring attitude as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, help us to just be obedient to his calling on our life to go and to do. We just thank you now in Jesus' precious name. Amen.